Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. I'm so excited to announce that we finally can talk about this Genius Mobility joint supplement. Now, this isn't just about your joints, but it's about inflammation in general, because when we start to get that achiness, that pain in the joint, it's usually due to that fluid buildup, that pressure, that inflammation that's happening around those joints. And it's not always just specific to one area, but if we're having inflammation and pain, it could be something that's happening throughout the system. So we want to combat the entire system as a whole and really tear down that inflammation so that the body can start to move again and feel better. And so this is why I'm so incredibly excited to announce that we have this supplement. And we worked hard with Genius. This is a company that already has really well-known supplements. And they wanted to do a product specifically with us because they know that we address and we have this community of people in pain. And so how can we really help you? With this product. And of course, it takes movement. Of course, it takes continuing to learn about your body. But if you can have something that just helps to reduce the inflammation in your body so that you can move, so that you can start to feel something different, this is just going to work with movement. And so we're just so excited. This is all natural. The products that are in there really have been studied and tested to help reduce the inflammation within our body. And it tastes amazing. Like, it is so delicious too. We keep getting feedback from people of how good it is. And you just take a little scoop, put it in your water. It's so easy to take. So again, check out the link in our show notes, and we're going to have it on the website. We're going to have it in the podcast, but go check it out because this product is so delicious. It's so good. It's available on Amazon. If you type in Genius Mobility, you're going to be able to find it. And I'm excited to hear what you think about it as well. We're also running a little special right now. So if you get the product, you like it and leave a review for us in the Amazon store, then you screenshot that review, you send it into our email, jen@docjenfit.com, and we're actually going to give a free month of the Optimal Body. And we're doing this because, one, we want people who actually enjoy the product and want to learn about their bodies, but also want to use this in conjunction with movement to really understand. Remember, the Optimal Body has mobility, it has foundational core work, it has the functional HIIT workouts, and it has those muscle activations, so you can start to really get back into your body. And why not do this with a supplement that's going to help reduce that inflammation and reduce that pain as well? So we're just so excited about this. Try it out. Let us know what you think.
Diving into another PT pearl on the QL, or the quadratus lumborum. And here we go. Let's dissect another fancy medical term, quadratus, square, lumborum, low back. It's a square in the low back that is actually integrated in a lot of different types of movements, types of processes. It's not like the primary mover for any of them.
Right.
But a lot of the times it gets blamed for why people might be having this low back pain.
Totally. And that's what people come in, like, that's what they've been told. Oh, it's your QL. Your QL is tight. You got to release your QL, right? And if you're listening to this, you probably heard that. And that's why you're probably listening to this podcast. So how do I stretch it? How do I release it? How do I do my trigger points on it? You know, and so we really want to break down why that all might not be as effective and what else you can do to actually help to start integrating back into this movement pattern and hopefully feel better. I mean, ultimately, if we're just thinking about where it is literally on the side of your body, connecting from the top of that hip. So it's called your iliac crest. So the top of your hip, and then feel the top of your rib cage. So I'm like touching on the other side, but top of rib cage, top of hip, iliac crest, and then back into the lumbar spine, your low back. And it's just, if you put your hand right at the side of your waist, you're covering your QL. If you're sitting and you lift your hip bone up, you can kind of like feel it activate.
You can feel that area activate.
Yeah.
And again, kind of like we're saying, it's there's so many different muscles that are integrated in that area.
Exactly.
Between the low back, our multifidi and our erector spinae, which are the things that are responsible for extending and laterally flexing our spine and even mm-hmm. doing some rotation of our low back. Again, in our core, so many muscles that are integrated into our ribs and in our core, our transverse abdominis, or that big corset type muscle, you know, that's going to be intimately integrated with our QL towards the back of our spine. So a lot of different movements, a lot of different things that the QL is involved in, and we're going to kind of dice through some of those.
Right. And it's interesting because it's like when we talk about the low core, we don't even address the QL at all. Because if we're talking about like the inner box of your core, we usually talk about the diaphragm, the pelvic floor, the transverse abdominis, and the multifidi. But the lumbar or the QL is kind of combined in that a little bit more externally, maybe not as inner, but it's going to help with the expansion of your ribs. It's connecting into our diaphragm. So there's parts of the diaphragm, that lateral, what is it?
Arcuate ligament.
That's connecting into the QL as well.
Totally.
And so it is connected with that inner core then.
Yeah. So anytime that muscles that are connected to the QL or connected through fascial planes, like
yes.
our thoracolumbar fascia, which is one of the thickest, densest fascias in our body. Thoracolumbar is the one that kind of runs from our thorax to our lumbar spine. So many of our back muscles, muscles on our shoulder blade, muscles in our hips mm-hmm. all connect into that. Our transverse abdominis connects into that in the back. And the QL kind of like lies right in tandem with that thoracolumbar fascia. So anything that pulls on that fascia is also going to give a pull to the QL.
Yep.
And generally, our muscles, when they get pulled against, are going to want to pull or tighten to resist that in mm-hmm. to some degree, right? Because, you know, we talk about balance, like really the system just has to work together in synergy with itself.
Right. So, and that's like, if we think of some of those lines or cubes or something, if I pull one end, it's going to affect what's happening at the other end. And so that's what we're thinking about too, with these fascial lines. If something around the shoulder blade or something around that upper back is getting tight and pulled, well, then that's probably going to have an effect lower down on the chain.
It's like those tensegrity models
yes.
or whatever. If anyone knows what we're talking about, Google a tensegrity model, or if you're watching YouTube, maybe we can throw up a clip of it.
It was kind of like some of those cool like toy things.
Yeah.
Too.
Where if you like pull one side of it, you can see how it affects the whole cube or whatever that, you know, is positioned there. But again, so even when we talk about extension or side bending of the low back, a lot of people will say that the QL is involved in that. The research that we looked into said only about 10% of those motions or 10% of the force was produced by the quadratus lumborum, where a lot more of it was produced through our multifidi, our erector spinae, and other back muscles.
Yeah. So that's fascinating, I think. And a lot of people like just sit with that and take that in. So your QL isn't the muscle that's just like holding you into that side bent position and causing all the pain. Well, no, there's other huge, big muscles that are at play there. And so if you're feeling like, you know, your QL is doing all the work, well, then are we eliciting these other muscles? Are we, you know, talking to the entire picture? And so I think we get to not just focus so much. And the other thing the QL helps with, it's just an accessory muscle in terms of breathing. So when we take a deep, really big inhale, so inspiration, if I take a really big inhale, hopefully we've taught you in episode 11 of the Optimal Body Podcast.
We mentioned this one so much.
If you haven't listened to this one yet, go listen to it. But we talk about wrapping that low rib cage, right? And then taking a deep inhale. And if we really focus on a forced inhale, then we're going to have to use accessory muscles to kind of help and expand that low rib cage. And so the diaphragm helps in that as well.
Yeah. And it's not like you're actively saying, okay, contract my QL. It's like, no, just the act of that rib cage expanding and that the QL is attached there, it's going to need to potentially, you know, shorten or lengthen a little bit with that breath. And so how do you know if you're having QL pain?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people will experience like a deep ache or a pain, and they'll kind of point toward that low back. I mean, right where you kind of put that hand, right?
Yeah.
Around that waist, low back area. And you hold and it's kind of pinpointed on one side a little bit higher. It's not like as low of the tailbone or SI area. It's a little bit higher in the back. And that's those deep aches and pains that kind of people experience.
Yeah. A lot of the times to like distinguish it between SI pain, which we did an episode not too long ago on, a lot of people with SI pain will point like one finger at the spot, where I feel like people with QL pain will kind of take that hand and put it backwards on their back like you were just doing and be like, ah, this is kind of where I feel it. And a lot of the times what they blame is these trigger points in the QL that kind of cause these referral patterns. Like anytime we have taut or tight bands of muscle, especially in the QL, there's lots of nerves that are running in our deep low back. We have our 12th intercostal nerve. I think it's like the iliohypogastric. There's a couple other like nerves with long names that run through there. That again, if we have trigger points in the QL, they might be causing some sort of entrapments of those nerves that can then cause different referral or referred pain into our hip or into our low back in different areas. So that's where people say trigger points in the QL can kind of mimic different hip pains or different low back pains.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people complain of pain with extended periods of sitting, or maybe even like the transition from sit to stand. People will complain of pain. Also pain or achiness kind of first thing in the morning. So like depending on like your sleeping position, then you just roll over and kind of sit up and you're like, oh, that kind of dull ache is still kind of there in that QL area.
Yeah. And a lot of that's because, you know, when we get in this sitting position and we just kind of relax into different ligaments, or we're not, you know, actually actively controlling in our core. That's where we like to talk about different active sitting positions you can use at work. As soon as we go to change direction and then we suddenly need to activate in that core, our body likes to find safety by locking into, or, you know, those muscles kind of grab into a spasm of sorts to find safety. So then, you know, when we identify, okay, I'm having some trigger points, or I'm having some pain in this QL, like, now what? How can I treat this?
Yeah. And so unfortunately, a lot of the research is going to be very pinpointed on that direct area. So if you're having QL pain, we can do trigger point release right for that QL. We could do trigger point injections right for that QL. We could do some osteopathic techniques, which aren't bad. I mean, they do get certain things to kind of move and hold and breathe in different positions. But ultimately, what is that all doing? And that's where, you know, Dom and I, right? We're going to go and look at the bigger picture. And you probably already heard some buzz terms as to where this QL connects to, that hopefully after you've been listening to us enough, you're like starting to pick this up on your own of like, oh, well, it connects into the rib cage. Oh, it has an effect on the diaphragm. Oh, it connects into that low back and core area. I wonder what could help.
I'm not picking up what you're laying down. I'm not getting it.
So, few more podcasts and mentioning right, it all
yeah,
the stuff.
Yeah, but I need to go back and listen to episode 11 again, I think. but diaphragm, breath. Again, even just sitting doing these podcasts, a lot of the time I get, you know, so amped up that I can tell myself I'm getting more into my upper rib cage. My shoulders are coming up towards my ear. When I'm breathing into my upper rib cage, again, my lower rib cage isn't moving as much. Therefore, my QL probably isn't involved in that as much and might be kind of holding down and getting into this tighter position because it's not moving and it's not as dynamic with my breath. So even just taking a few of those deep breaths into the rib cage.
Yeah, feel that low rib cage. Breathe into it.
It's going to do a lot of things. It's going to get our QL activating through more of its range. And also it's going to get our parasympathetic system activating, which is just going to decrease the tension and stress overall in our body.
Which we know it connects into that thoracolumbar fascia. You and I say it differently. And that low back lumbar area. So if we're wanting to touch on all these muscles and kind of relax the system, getting into that diaphragm, doing those diaphragmatic breaths and getting it to relax and activate at the same time is just going to help that QL to feel better. And I want to like talk into a little bit too, like when we're just pinpointing the QL and saying, this is where my pain is, punch into that pain, let me release it. What do you think is going to happen? If say you touched it enough that it relaxed the tissue, because that's what we know trigger points are really doing.
Broke up some fascia?
Not really. So if we know that if it touched the area enough to elicit change.
Yeah.
What happens when you get off that table and you start moving again?
It stays like that forever.
It does?
Forever, ever? No. If you don't change the way you do stuff, if you don't change the way you move, you're not going to get a different result. And that's one thing we like to preach a lot of the times. Like, you can go in to a physio, to a chiro, as much as you want, have them rub out all the knots in your QL, have them work on your thoracolumbar or thoracolumbar fascia, potato, potato,
even
I don't
do some
care.
ART. Maybe you were like, but I'm moving with it, right? I'm activating and then relaxing as they're doing those trigger points. I'm doing work.
And then I go back to work and sit for 8 hours again. You know, you need to, again, do something different to get a change. So if we're only using those passive modalities and we're not assessing up and down the chain, we're not assessing kind of how we move throughout the day, we probably won't get a different result.
Exactly. So just think about how we're using this. If you need to calm down the symptoms because you're like, listen, I can't function in my everyday life. Okay, cool. Like, maybe you're going, getting some passive treatments, and that's going to help you for that short term. Like, you have to realize that these methods are temporary.
Or, like, rather than a passive treatment, again, it's still kind of passive, but you at least are participating in, grab a foam roller and set it by your desk. And, yeah, like, have something by your desk, like the IntelliRoll or like yoga tuna balls that you could put behind you in your chair and kind of like actively work into those a little bit. Breathe into a gorgeous ball a little bit, which is one of our favorite things. And then take 5 minutes, like we always say, take 5 minutes every hour to get on the ground, do some mobility, do some thoracic rotation, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Because again, it connects along that thoracolumbar fascia, right? So think of that whole upper back area needs to move more then. So if you're going to lay on a foam roller, which, by the way, the IntelliRoll is the perfect foam roller for the QL, like literally the way that it is indented will get you into that QL. But once you do that, then we got to stimulate some change. So then we're going to open up the upper back. We're just, like Dom said, we're going to do some active mobility. And you don't even have to do the open book laying on the ground. You could do it sitting at your desk. You could just rotate. Literally, I'm just going to sit in my chair and take some time to rotate. I'm going to take some time to put my hands on my rib cage and take some slow, intentional, big breaths. I'm going to take some time to just think about opening up into that upper back. Like, there's so many different ways that we can do it, even just sitting and changing the way that we feel.
I should seriously just do this like every time you're talking while we're doing podcasts, because I feel so much better if
it
I just like rotate 5-6 times, especially when we're like recording for 5-6 hours a day.
Exactly.
Like, feels so good in your body. And I mean, you mentioned the IntelliRoll, the contour zones of the body. It is like the big spoon that was built for your hips and your low back. It
for your QL.
Seriously hugs up on that QL. So nice and good luck.
Code DocGen. You can get your little discount using that one.
Oh yeah, we'll tag those things up for you. Seriously, if you haven't tried them or haven't even looked them up, some of the tools that we find the biggest changes for ourselves with.
Yeah. And then if we look into, so there are specific techniques that you can do for like kind of those nerve entrapments that you're feeling. And I've shown this before, but it's kind of like think of you're doing a hip flexor stretch. So you're in that low lunge position. And then you kind of wrap your arms around your head, because then I'm bringing my upper body or my arms up, and then I'm creating some pressure and some tension away from that area where the nerves come through in that kind of upper back, low back region, that thoracolumbar region. And then you might do some, like, if you were going to stretch into that QL or into that hip flexor, we usually side bend, we do some rotation. But now if I bend my head, I actually put that nervous system on tension. And so I help to get into that area even more, which if you're on YouTube, we'll link up some videos so that you can see what that visually looks like rather than me just trying to talk through it.
Yeah. My favorite thing about this episode so far is we've gone through the whole QL episode without even mentioning the QL stretch, which is like the first place that everybody goes.
It's
like, oh, just get against the wall and do a QL stretch. Like, again, great. You can maybe put some tension through stretching into that QL and get it to feel something different. But then if we go back and sit or do what we were just doing that kind of elicited that pain, it might not change.
Exactly. And honestly, my favorite QL stretch is that side bending one. Have a gif of it because it feels so yummy. Just along that entire area, though. It's not even like, I think of it like a lateral line stretch all the way from my hands all the way down to my legs. It just feels so
good. Familiar
so
with the anatomy
good.
Trains, the whole lateral line, just finding a way to put that whole thing on tension, because then you'll realize, oh, wow, I got a few different places along this lateral line that I need to give more attention to. It's not just
and
that
just
QL
into it.
That's barking on me, so...
Exactly. But then other than that, we got to go into some of that core work we talked about as well.
Absolutely. I mean, core stabilization is going to be huge. Specifically once I started doing a lot of Jen's optimal body workouts, like core one, my absolute favorite, because it teaches me how to coordinate my core. Some of the muscles that we were talking about earlier with the pelvic floor, the transverse abdominis, the diaphragm, just learning how to breathe well. With those, again, putting pressure around that low rib cage, maybe with a band, it really kind of teaches your body to do that. And if you use the band, you're actually doing it against some resistance, which is really cool. But the QL is going to be very integrated with that. So if we're teaching that integration of our breath work with how all those different muscles are pumping, the QL is also going to start to tune into that.
Exactly. So I mean, like Dom said, core one, core two in the optimal body is your place to actually. So if you're having QL pain, like you want to learn core work, it's not just about abs. It's not like your six pack. When we're talking core work, we're talking coming back to those foundational pieces of how your body actually works together as a pillar so that you can stabilize in all these different positions.
Yeah, the six pack is way overblown. Literally, like I've had a six pack since I was like 15 years old, but I've also had issues with inguinal hernias, issues with my pelvic floor not, you know, working quite correctly or being way too tight for myself. So it is about the whole core. I'd give up my six pack any day if I could just have a core that would consistently work in integration with itself for me.
So we've talked about a lot, and honestly, you know, strengthening, rotating, moving more, that is going to help this tension at the low back to ultimately start to feel better. You have to move. We can't avoid movement. We can't just rest. We can't just stretch it out. We can't just massage it out. It's not how it works. We got to move. We got to strengthen. We got to learn our body, create different patterns, breathe, breathe well, breathe often, obviously, because we're living. Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at Doc Jen Fit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community. Tell us what you're learning. Rate and subscribe to the episode, because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT Pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.